Let's clap our hands to Jesus all over this place. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Such an honor to be here at this, because of the times, 40 years. And so honored to be here in attendance. And thankful for this opportunity to worship with my brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful for my wife who's here, Tanya, for the Mangan family who has been such a blessing to my family, to the work in Europe. And thankful for our leadership, Team Europe, missionaries and leaders of Europe. So thankful for them. Brother Howell and our new general director, Brother Hunley, I honor him tonight as our global missions director. So thankful that God has given us a man to lead us into this next hour of revival around the world. And I was going to say that I had not eaten since I got the call to preach at this meeting, and it would have sounded spiritual. And Pastor or Bishop Mangan asked me if I could be ready. I said, well, I have a verse that the Lord had given me, and I wrote it down on my way down here. So I guess I said, we'll start with that. So I'm going to do my best to give to you what the Lord has laid upon my heart. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? This meeting was born out of the Spirit. I came to this meeting for the first time. I believe I was probably 8 or 9 years old, before there was Bot PK, and my brother and I, who's watching online, we would come after lunch and we would save seats on the front row of those metal chairs so that we could see the spittle coming off the preacher as he preached. I'm thankful for my parents who brought me here, who would take us to lunch and then drop my brother and I off as they went and took a nap. And they would drop us off so that we could be on the front row. I appreciate my heritage and my parents for investing and coming down to this conference and bringing us. This conference has changed me. The Mangans have changed me. All of you have changed me. And I'm so thankful for what God has begun in the Spirit. I believe He's going to finish in the Spirit. As the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh, we've got to make sure that we stay true to how the Spirit started everything. Having begun in the Spirit, I want to speak to us for just a few moments. Bewitched out of my blessing. Let's pray all together. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this 40th year of Because of the Times and the opportunity that we have to be in your presence and to magnify and what you have done in my life, in the life of so many of my friends who are here over the years. I give you honor. I thank you, Jesus, for what you have done and what you have started in us, what you have begun in us. Lord, give us strength to finish as you have started those things in us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. Give me words to speak to your people in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, you may be seated in the name of Jesus. In our study of the early church, we see a sovereign move of God that brought revelation of who Jesus is. There were miraculous conversions that caused the message of the gospel to be spread abroad very quickly. We see in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 8, we see those in the city of Samaria. In Acts chapter 8 and 13, we see Simon the sorcerer, who has an amazing experience with God, a miraculous conversion that begins to happen. We see in the Ethiopian eunuch, we see the conversion of Saul of Tarsus as he walks down the road and he has a vision and his eyes are open and a miraculous conversion takes place. We see the conversion of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Time after time, these encounters that people had with God changed their lives. It was a supernatural beginning that set the course for the church of Jesus Christ. It was a supernatural conversions that changed people from one belief system, and all of a sudden they had a supernatural revelation of who the mighty God in Christ was, and it began to spread throughout the world. The letter of Galatians was written to a group of churches teetering on the verge of no longer being a true church. They were in the process of deserting Christ for another gospel. The Judaizers were teaching the Galatian believers that the observance of the Old Testament ceremonies was integral to the gospel. And to be specific, they were insisting that the Galatian Christians had to be circumcised to observe the Jewish and observe the Jewish days and the seasons to be saved. The problem with the false gospel of the Judaizers was that they were making religious observances to be the essence of the gospel. He said, if you will do this, then this is the gospel. If you will observe this, then this is what is going to save you. The problem in Galatians stands as an ever-present reminder to all of us how quickly and easily we can begin in the spirit and wind up in the flesh. Our whole existence into the kingdom began as a supernatural experience. The conversion story, sitting on the seats, that because of the times are supernatural stories, that if we open it up and begin to tell of the supernatural things that brought people to the feet of Jesus. It began with an Acts 2:38 experience, being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Your new birth experience was a supernatural experience as you lifted up your hands and you begin to worship God. And the God Almighty, He came down in the form of Spirit, filled your life, and you begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. It was a supernatural experience. Your calling. Yes, even your calling was a supernatural experience. What you heard from God, whether audible or whether in a service or whether at a because of the times or in a private place of prayer, was a supernatural experience, a God that called you into the ministry. Your calling to the city that you pastor in was a supernatural experience. That an almighty God would see that city and He would call you. And He would say, I want you to go to that city. A supernatural experience is what has led us, that has guided us into where we are today in our churches and our leadership positions. We began in the spirit. Yet there is a seducing spirit that will try to creep in and deviate us from the path that God has started us on. That word bewitching, in my long time of study today, I had time to pull up Webster's dictionary. I did not have time for the Greek or the Hebrew. But Webster says bewitching is powerfully or seductively attractive or charming. A bewitching that can take place the longer that we are in ministry. A bewitching that can take place the longer that the larger that our congregation grows, we can get to a place where we begin to get a little nervous as our church grows. We can get a little scared to lose people. What we started out with great faith, when we went to that city with nothing, when we went to that city with nothing in the bank account, as the bank account begins to grow, all of a sudden, what did not scare us before begins to cause us to have a little nerves. And the spirit of bewitchment tries to creep in, a seducing spirit that says, you better get yourself together. These people are going to find out that you really don't know what you're doing. What you have begun in the spirit, you have got to finish in the spirit. When God called you to that city, it was a spiritual experience. When God called you to that neighborhood, it was a call from God. What began in the spirit, don't be seduced or bewitched in this last hour to make us, some people think that you've got it all together. Let us stay in the spirit and finish in the spirit. See, revival is like, now this is me. You may have deeper understanding of revival. But to me, revival is kind of like skiing. For those of you who have skied, the first time I was taken skiing, I was in Canada on deputation. A friend of mine said, let's go up and we're going to take you skiing. And they took me on the bunny slope one time. And these Canadians who are used to the skiing, and I didn't know it. I didn't know what the difference, but evidently my skis were set for a 300-pound person as well. And they took me, they said, we're going to the diamonds. I said, okay, that's, I don't know the difference. And they took me to the top, and they began to go down. And what I learned very quickly about skiing is that you're never quite in control. It doesn't matter how fast you're going. You're always on the verge of losing control. A little ripple, a little soft powder, a little ice. The faster and faster you go, you're not quite in control. And our tendency is, as skiers, is to ride those brakes. Now, they did tell me about the V on the bunny slope. They said, if you get in trouble, just point your skis together and form a V, and you'll be all right. So my first trek down the diamonds was in a V, all the way down. Now, I did not know that you were supposed to go left and right and left and right. I just imagine you just go straight down. So with my skis set for a 300-pound man, I headed down in the V. And as I begin to gain courage and begin to pull the skis out of the V, headed straight down towards the bottom, I realized very quickly, you are not in control of this. And revival is like skiing. You're never quite in control. The faster things begin to move, the faster things begin to happen. The tendency in the flesh is to begin to put the brakes on it and say, now, this is a little crazy for me. We're getting a little out there, and let's slow down a little bit. This is getting a little dangerous. And even some of our friends will begin to talk to us and say, do you really know what you're doing? And I say, well, I'm trying my best. And they can even talk us into putting that V in the skis. Many people talked to me. They said, Nathan, what is it you've done in Spain? I told them, I don't know. I'm always on the verge of losing control. I'm always on the verge of losing control. Brother Tenney told me one time, he said, don't try to figure it out, Nathan. He said, because as soon as you figure it out, God will change it on you. So if you just throw away those poles here tonight, take the V off the skis, you might be on the verge of losing control. But what was started in the spirit, God will finish in the spirit. If you try to control it, you're going to stop it. If you try to control it, you're going to put the brakes on it. If you try to figure out how God is doing it, you're going to stop what God is doing. Just throw away the poles and just head down the hill. Now, in the beginning of all of this was the great commission of the church. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now we as the church, we have a revelation of this scripture. We have revelation of the second part of that scripture. When we understand baptizing them in the name, we know what the name is. We'll preach about the name. We'll tell everyone who comes in, you need to be baptized in the name. When they point out Matthew 28:19, we'll say, well, do you see that the name is singular? There's one name. We have revelation of that part of the scripture. We celebrate the second part of the scripture. We can celebrate about the percentage of people that are in our churches that have completed the second part of the scripture. We will brag about the 95% of our congregation that is baptized in the name of Jesus. We will say we've got 95%. We're shooting for 100% of people baptized in the name. But if we are honest, many times it's only about 5% that are obeying that first part. We're in that single digit percentage of those that are actually trying to win the lost. In fact, we have made a system that allows us to have voting members that all they have to do is pay their tithes, attend faithfully. They got to make sure they follow that second part of Matthew 28:19. We will obey the second part, but that first half. We don't believe we need to go and teach like we believe we need to go and be baptized. And we have convinced ourselves that we can go to heaven without winning the lost. We have convinced ourselves that if we obey the second part of that scripture, then everything's gonna be okay. And a bewitching has tried to creep in the last hour of the church. We are very quick to command them to be baptized, but we won't command them to go and to teach all nations. We will use scripture and verse, and we will command them, say, you must be baptized in the name. But when it comes to commanding them to go and to teach, we get off the brakes a little bit. The spirit of religion would desire to bewitch us, to make us think that we have, all we have to do is complete Acts 2:38. People in the pews that started in the spirit, but now they sit in the pews paying their tithes and attending faithfully. We have people holding microphones that cannot open their Bibles and teach a Bible study. We started this thing with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We began in the spirit. and we must finish in the Spirit. The Bible says in Matthew 16 and 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. They went forth and preached everywhere. The problem is many times we don't believe God is going to work with us. So we are scared to go. And we have searched and searched for the latest church gimmick, for the latest new thing that will entice people to our churches. And in doing so, we have begun to rely on the flesh, on enticing rather than the Spirit of God drawing them. And there is a difference between enticement of the flesh that our church toys can bring us rather than the drawing of the Spirit. And what has begun in the Spirit must be finished in the Spirit. That spirit of religion, it can cry to creep in and it can try to bewitch us. We do not believe that God will work with us. Now, the majority of the miracles that I have seen have not been in the church house. Blinded eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, the lame walking. Many, many thousands of those miracles were not sitting in a church service, but they were sitting in a home giving a Bible study. They were sitting in a small group. They were standing in a parking lot. They were outside because as they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord began to work with them. If we will understand that what has begun in the Spirit, God wants to finish in the Spirit. Yes, we can celebrate. We've completed Matthew 28, 19, that second part. But when we will obey that first part and we'll decide that we're going to go and we're going to teach, the Lord said, I'll go with you and I will work with you. We have allowed people to sit on the pew, pay their tithes, be good Christians, but never be a disciple maker. And because we have never pushed them to be disciple makers, they never enter into that flow of the Holy Ghost. And we as pastors, we can rob them of a blessing. We can rob the people of an anointing of the Holy Ghost that will take them on a whole nother level. There is a blessing that happens when people go. There is a blessing that happens when people begin to teach, when people begin to preach this word. So as pastors, we are the ones that are doing the disservice at times by not challenging them to the first half of Matthew 28, 19. So they have been bewitched out of a blessing. There's a blessing, there's an anointing that comes. That blessing that comes with being a disciple maker. And so I truly believe that it is time for us as pastors and leaders and ministers to leave because of the times. And when we go back home, when we go to our churches and go to our pulpits, we look, don't be afraid to look at that biggest tithe payer in the eye as well and say, we have all been called to go and to teach. We have all been called. Now, I know that one's a little more nerve-wracking. When that big tithe payer wasn't in the church, it was easier to preach about it. But as the church grows, as we begin to have more affluence in the community, a bewitching would want to creep in. And that spirit of religion, like in the Galatians, it said, if you will celebrate these traditions, you'll be okay. If you'll celebrate these holidays, this is a new gospel. if you'll celebrate this, if you'll do it this way, if you'll attend church, if you'll pay your tithes, everything will be okay. And what has happened is that the enemy has begun to bewitch the church to get them, to draw them away from that first calling, that what began in the spirit, to go and to teach. And if you'll go and teach, I'm going to work with you. The growth that we saw in Spain, the growth that we saw in Barcelona, it was because we begin to teach and we begin to preach that everybody could be used of God, that everybody could lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. We begin to preach that God wanted to use everybody, and if they would go and if they would teach, then God would use them mightily. My church that I pastored for 19 years in Barcelona, the last few years I very rarely prayed for the sick in my church personally, because there were others that got that revelation that they were called to go and to teach. And if they were called to go and to teach, then God would work with them. And if God would work with them, then mighty signs and wonders and miracles would follow them. There were many people that never preached behind a pulpit, but they were used mightily by God. A blessing and an anointing that came upon them because they went out of the four walls. We can be bewitched to thinking we've got it all together. We can come to because of the time, be inspired and go back. But the true growth and revival that God is wanting to send to this nation and the nations around the world is going to require more than just the people that are sitting in this room. But it's going to require a priesthood of believers. It's going to require brothers and sisters that may never stand behind a pulpit. It's going to require people that don't really have a way to talk. They don't really know how to speak very well. But God will use them. God will anoint them, because when they decide to go, there's a blessing. When they decide to teach, there's a blessing. There's an anointing that begins to happen. And if we can leave because of the times this evening and decide I'm going back, I'm not going to allow that spirit of bewitchment to come and to steal the blessing of my church, to steal the blessing of my saints, but we're going to believe and we're going to preach that whole gospel. We're going to go and we're going to teach. And when we begin to go and teach, then yes, the natural thing is signs shall follow them that believe. Oh, what happens? Oh, what's going to happen when that new convert begins to lay hands on the sick? Well, they haven't got everything to know. They don't know everything about holiness yet. Let's put the brakes on it. Whoa. I need to be in control of this situation. What happens when that new convert comes in? Had a new convert lady who came into my church, who brought a first-time visitor. She came in and she said, Pastor, I brought my friend here, and I'm praying for her because she's got a blind eye and she can't see, and I'm praying for her and nothing's happened. I asked her, I said, well, have you prayed for her to get the Holy Ghost yet? She said, no, she hasn't got the Holy Ghost yet. So I said, well, go back and pray for her to receive the Holy Ghost. New convert, doesn't know anything. She goes back and begins to pray for her friend. Her friend receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She runs back. She said, Pastor, my friend speaking in tongues. I said, well, now go down, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. She laid her hands on her friend. That blind eye opened up. She began to dance and shout. Oh, I don't know about a new convert seeing miracles. Oh, I don't know about a new person being used in the gifts of the Spirit. Hey, when revival starts happening, it's out of control. When revival starts happening, don't try to stop it. Don't try to contain it. It's gonna happen so fast, it will blow your mind. Oh, if you believe it, stand to your feet and clap your hands. That's it, just for a moment. Clap your hands. Lord, I take dominion and authority over every spirit of religion that would try to bewitch us. I take dominion and authority over every spirit that would try to seduce us, over every spirit that would try to deceive us. What has begun in the spirit, it shall end in the spirit. Oh, if you want that, clap your hands to Jesus. The revival that God has for us is bigger than one person. It's bigger than one pastor. It's bigger than your team. But we have got to go back and begin to preach all the gospel. You've got to go and you've got to teach. And yes, you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. But if you go, there's a blessing. If you'll teach, there's a blessing. If you'll disciple, there's a blessing. The Lord is wanting to open our eyes, reveal to us before it's too late. He's coming back soon. His coming is soon. And he's raising up a priesthood of believers. He's willing to use anybody. And if you'll go back, don't steal that blessing from your congregation. Don't steal that blessing of anointing that will fall over that new convert. You tell them to go. You tell them to teach. You tell them to preach. No, not just come and sit on the pew. God's going to use them. Begin to preach about a priesthood of believers. Begin to preach that God will use every. God may not use you to lay hands on the sick, but God will use everyone else to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If you'll lift up your hands to Jesus all across this place, let's take dominion just for a moment over every spirit that would try to bewitch us, everything that would try to come against us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we open up our hearts, our spirits, God, to be led by you. What has begun in the spirit, it shall end in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, that's it. That's it just for a moment. Lord, I'm going to be led by your spirit.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be led by your spirit. That's it. That's it. In the name of Jesus. In
the
name of Jesus. That's it.
Just
for a moment, begin to speak that out.
Speak the word. Go ahead.
In the name of Jesus, we're going to be led by the spirit. What started in the spirit is going to end in the spirit. When you filled us with the Holy Ghost, we're not going to go to the flesh. We're going to be led by the spirit. That's it. Make up in your mind. What began in the spirit shall end in the spirit.
That was the word of the Lord. Last night, Brother Gleason thanked me for touching Brother Gleason, our assistant superintendent. He has been driving us in this area. He has been driving us. And I'm probably getting ready to take myself out of the wedge and put my skis together and get in a lot of trouble. But my father taught me, and he didn't teach me wrong. It was for that particular season of the church. But we used to have to bring into my office and lay hands on people to commission them to baptize. No one else baptized except those that are commissioned to baptize. And when God got a hold of me on this discipleship business 3 or 4 years ago, he told me to release this church to baptize. And I walked to this pulpit under the unction of the Holy Ghost, and I released every one of them, everyone that's baptized and obeyed the new birth experience and living a holy, godly life and is a part of our church. They are able to baptize anybody in this city. They can come here. They can go to their house. They can do it. I know I'm messing you up. They can do it anywhere. But we're not going to be able to house the last day revival thinking we have to do everything. It's got to be done through the body of Christ. We got to release it. We got to release them. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, when you go home, and through the authority, the unction, the power of the Holy Ghost, I ask you to release your people that are true disciples. Allow them to go make disciples all the way to baptizing people in the name of Jesus, in swimming pools, in rivers, in lakes, in church baptistries. Let's make disciples. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Speak the word. It's one of those moments I was talking about. I'm not going to feel rushed right here. We got a great preacher coming on the scene, but God has just spoken to us. So would you throw your hands and just wait just a moment on the Lord and see if God says something to you or God speaks to us right here. Let's just listen for the voice of God right here. See what thus saith the word of the Lord. Our great God, make a disciple. Turn our people loose. I said, come on, from the depths. I know I'm pushing you right now. I know you're tired, but I'm pushing you right now. Because that was the word of the Lord to the body of Christ. Releasing people to baptize, releasing people to work. Hallelujah. 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 To your family or to a brother, turn and pray for them right now. Pray for what we heard today. Pray for their mind. Pray for they can receive what I just spoke, but particularly what Brother Herod just spoke to us. We can receive what Brother Gaddy spoke to us. We can receive what Brother Palmer spoke to us. We can receive what Brother Woodward spoke to us today. Pray that we can receive this. Speak in the name of Jesus. I said, go ahead and let it flow out of you. I said, let it flow out of you. Come on, Holy Ghost. I want to be a disciple. I want to baptize somebody this year. God, I want it to be my soul. I want my soul, oh Lord. I want my soul, oh God. I'm hungry for my soul, great God. I'm praying in the name of Jesus. I'm hungry for my soul this year, God. If you're a pastor in here, and you're a pastor in here, and maybe you haven't done it just that way, but you'll at least consider going home and praying about it. Would you raise your hand? Look at the hands. Look at all the hands. Going home and releasing everybody. In choir, y'all just great singing, but there's no reason why every one of you can't double yourself and have somebody standing by you next year that you won to the Lord. Choir, we need to teach Bible studies. Well, that's just the way it is. Give a shout to the Lord before we're seated. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for coming. And I'm getting ready to turn this to Pastor, because he's the pastor.